the cauldron for another episode of Good Witch, Bad Witch. Which witch are you?
Drink beer out of a shoe. Make a hat trick or two. Put your rally hat on and eat peas and beef till they're gone. Sports rituals and superstitions don't get any better than this on a dorky deep dive with your athletic experts, Lisa, Shelley, and Daryl.
Hey guys.
Guess
hi. What day? That was a sexy pause.
Hey guys.
A pregnant pause.
It was a pregnant, sexy pregnant pause.
Menopause?
Okay, take two. Hey guys.
Hi.
Guess what day it is?
Witchy Wednesday.
You got it. You know why? Because it's Wednesday and we're here and we're recording and it's Good Witch, Bad Witch. We are here to entertain you and do all the fun things. Why do I have so much energy? I don't know.
Because we ain't done this in a minute.
Oh, okay.
You're like the guy at the beginning of the Kelly Clarkson program. You came up to pump us up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You're
here
to pump you
up. This is how we do it.
Speaking of
this
which.
This is how we do it. This is our good witch, Shelley Majors.
Huddly ho.
Over here is the man witch, Daryl Brown.
You know it.
And I will today be your bad witch, Lisa Brown.
Be it all day.
Today we are talking about sports rituals and some of the weird and wacky things sports teams, individuals,
fans,
different things that happen in the sporting world. That is like a ritual, a tradition.
Yep.
Some might say
superstition.
Superstition. Well, I'm going to call it a ritual, but
sure.
Whatever. That's not even the name of the show. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Not based on fact.
Right. So getting started, I wanted to ask you guys, what are some of some rituals, traditions, things that you have when either you watch a sporting event or you go to a sporting event?
Mm. You want me to go?
Sure.
Me go?
You go. You go, amigo.
Yeah, I was going to say amigo.
Well, one thing, you know, it depends if I'm at home, but I throw on my team colors.
Mm-hmm.
I throw on a jersey or, you know, a sweater.
And this is at home.
This is at home. Yeah. Yeah. But when we used to have season tickets and stuff, I always tried to wear, you know, if I'd wear the same jersey, and if it was they weren't doing so good, I'd switch it up once in a while. But I always wore my alternate favorite blue, dark blue jersey.
Didn't you always usually wear that when we were playing in rivalry division?
Yeah, right. That's your rivalry. But I always wore it like that because I liked that jersey.
So you really thought out which shirt you were wearing based on if they were on a streak.
My undershirt at times, I would plan that out too. I'd be like, okay, we won, so I got to wear that next week, you know, next game underneath. Underneath that jersey.
You wore your Mormon undergarments.
The year that we won the Stanley Cup, he stunk. Just stunk. Because, you know, he just never changed and slept in it.
Ugh. I figured both of you would concentrate on hockey, so I didn't do that really at all. But isn't No Shave November? Didn't it start with hockey?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done that in the past before. Another thing that I did was I always made sure I sat in the same seat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was definitely a thing. I even had, like, when we had our seats for the Avalanche game, the guy next to me, I called him the spreader.
Oh, yeah, he's a leg spreader.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think he had the biggest balls in town. And
that guy said, like,
he would sit with his legs. I think that he knew how to do the splits in the, not this way, like the kick out way, but in the
east-west way.
Yes.
Yeah, east-west way.
And so he was trying to show everyone,
uh-huh.
And he was up my ass with his knees, and Daryl still wouldn't trade seats with me.
Oh, no. Bad husband.
Well, he was good for the team, not so good for the wife.
Right. Well, yeah, superstition and all that. But that guy must have had some grapefruits in his pants.
He's something. And then another time, I think we've talked about this before, but Daryl's like, his biggest phobia is glitter.
Yeah.
Well, one time this girl came and sat next to him and she was covered head to toe with pink glitter.
And she had a pink mohawk.
She had a pink mohawk and she had it all over her. And Daryl looked at me and I thought he was going to pass out. And he goes, glitter. And Stephanie, I said, do you want me to trade seats with you? And he's like, I can't.
Here's a question. Yeah. I get what you're saying. But so in your season tickets that you've had for years and years,
mm-hmm.
Who sat on the left and who sat on the right?
Daryl was on the left. I was on the right.
Is that if you were to sleep in the same bed, would that be the position that you slept in the bed in?
Yeah.
No, because I sleep on the left now in my bed, and you sleep on the
left. I sleep alone.
So I don't know.
I didn't know if it was related, if there's just a natural.
No, but think about it. When you first sat together, you always slept
on the right,
and I slept on the left.
And I think they only sleep on the left now because that's where my phone is plugged.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I gotcha.
So,
no,
yeah,
I sleep on the left if I sleep by myself. But if I'm with a fella, and by that I mean my fella, they sleep on the left because that's usually where the door is.
What about any other one?
I were to sleep with another fella, I better not have to protect them. They're still sleeping closest to the door, so they get the first stabby stabby.
Right. Oh,
so smart. I can wake up and run.
Yeah.
And then be like, hey, 911.
Yeah.
Later, sucker.
You're like, take one for the team. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm very superstitious about people breaking into my house and stabbing me.
That has nothing to do with sports. How dare you?
Well, it's a sport for some people.
That's true.
And then the goofy thing I do is when playoffs come, I get every sweater that I own, every Avs sweater, and I hang it up underneath my TV on the fireplace, and I put them all around.
Okay, if they're autographed, like let's say by a Matt Duchene or something, do you show the autograph side or the back? Or like, does it matter?
I always show the front.
Yeah, I always show the front.
Okay, are you sacrificing a chicken as this has
happened? Well, oh, yes. We got to win.
Well, and that's, you don't put up like different sports. It's only the Avalanche one.
Only the Avalanche, No, I don't have anybody else really.
Yeah, but like, let's say you really like, who's the team that you like now?
The Nuggets.
No, he likes the Kansas City.
Okay.
He likes Kansas City Chiefs.
I have two uniforms from them.
Yeah, and then
if I wear my Mahomes jersey, then I put my Kelce up.
Yeah.
And then vice versa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a shrine as you're watching the thing at home.
My Matt Duchene ones, I do have his autograph, but he doesn't play for either team. So, he doesn't play for Kansas City, of course.
That'd be amazing.
That would be just nuts. I'm like, he's a dueling guy. He's like Bo Jackson.
Such a great athlete.
Like Michael Jordan. He can do anything.
Seriously. Him with his 9 fingers, catching balls.
Holy moly.
Maybe he's a quarterback. We don't
know. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's all pretend.
Never say never.
No. His son plays football now.
What are your sports superstitions, Lisa?
I don't really have any other than I always bring the same blanket, but that was mostly just because I was cold.
Well, sure.
Because
I'm nice,
you dumb bitch.
And we always left it in the car.
Yep.
But
it stunk.
We usually, when we would go to the games, we would always get nachos every single time.
Uh-huh.
We try not to eat or get beers or anything there because it's just so damn expensive.
Sure.
But nachos seem to like fill us both up, but not like be too expensive.
And they're delicious. They're like the 7-Eleven nachos over there.
Until the great nacho fight.
Uh-oh.
Of 2015.
Tell us about it, Steph.
I don't really know what year it was, but that's what it seems like it was about then. Daryl and I got in one of the biggest fights we've ever gotten into because I wanted to get, there's two different kinds of nachos, right?
Okay.
There's the ones that just with the cheese.
Sure,
like in a little dipping vessel.
In a dipping cup and just plain
chips. Throw some jalapenos on there.
Maybe, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Right. Then 7-Eleven style.
Yeah, 7-Eleven style. So then they have the gourmet ones that you can put like beef on and tomato, well, not tomatoes, but some people can.
Sour cream,
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's loaded.
Supreme.
Yeah.
And those places aren't as prevalent. You cannot find them as much.
But when you got to have the deluxe, you got to have the deluxe.
And it feeds more, and it's just better. And I think, to be honest with you, it was like $1 more or $2 more.
Or adult splurge.
Right.
Yes.
So I went, and it took me forever to find one.
Uh-huh.
And then the line was really long because it was like the only one in all of the Pepsi Center.
Uh-huh.
And I don't... Was this before we had cell phones, or I didn't? I think
no, we had cell phones, but it was just.
I don't know. Maybe I had it in my pocket and I wasn't thinking about it because I was only thinking about nachos. But it took me a really long time, and he got like really upset because I was. It took so long because
she was gone almost the full period. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so he was really, really upset about the fact that it was so long and that he was worried that I got abducted by the nacho monster.
Sure,
and
worry makes people dicky.
Yeah, I
hate to worry.
Yeah, so anyway. The great nacho. You like to worry?
So we went back to regular soggy bottom nachos.
It was like, okay, don't worry about it. Well,
it's just fuel at that point.
That was the thing. By the time she got them to me, they were soggy bottom.
He's also, Daryl has many, many, many attributes. Uh-huh. There's so many great things about him.
This sounds like a wind up for something shitty.
I know. Am I getting it right coming at me now or what?
There's a but.
But.
Yeah.
He has some little quirks.
Sure.
That
who doesn't?
Normal people. So, yeah, no, everybody has their quirks. And I'm not going to say that normal people don't.
That's what makes him quirky.
But this, he doesn't like messy food.
Okay, yeah.
So he would rather just get the dippy-dippy nachos because it's not as messy. He can put his amount of stuff on it. It's not already on there where he can't control how much stuff is on there.
Right.
Thus, dropping onto his pretty jerseys, sweaters, and then making him a mess and stuff. So, needless to say, after the big nacho debate, we didn't get nachos much anymore.
You know what we got into after that? Tots.
We did get into tots.
We got into tots, man.
They had tater tots.
Just to clarify, tater tots, not toddlers.
No!
Just tater.
Oh, they got delicious tots.
And another way of saying tits is tots.
Tots for tats.
No, we didn't. We started eating little children.
They were just messy.
We became witches.
Two bites and I'm...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, do you guys know who Hannibal Buress is, the comedian?
Yes.
He has a bit when he's talking about, you know, going to a fancy restaurant and stuff, and everybody has, like, you know, the fancy linen napkin and tucked him in like a bib and stuff. He's like, I have the confidence to bring the fork to my mouth without any incidents. I have the confidence. It's going to be fine.
That's not me. I don't have that confidence. And the thing is, because my boobies are so big, that it sits right there. Boop! It doesn't go down to the lap.
It's like a shelf.
It's a little shelf of nastiness.
Yeah, like if you ate a taco over it, you'd just be eating all the drippings after.
That's the good thing about it, though, is that you have a second meal.
Exactly.
Yeah,
mine goes straight to the ground.
Well, there you go.
My nacho meat's on the floor.
Mine just hits right on my top of my gut right here.
That's like the top of the titty almost.
Oh, my gosh. So we talked about this on another superstition show, and this is also true with election results. But I do not post anything before it's over.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. My superstition is not like it could be a football game and it's 73-2. Like they had a safety and that's
with a
it.
Minute left.
And I'm like, I'm not saying shit to nobody. I'm not a ha ha, you know.
And that's why I was so happy when I heard the Kamala Harris one. I was like, yes, that is amazing. Wait, no. Somebody posted wrong?
All of it. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. I don't believe in any of it.
I agree.
And but especially with sports, you know, Super Bowl. If I put money on it, if I don't, I just don't. I just don't believe it till they show the final score.
Right.
And I do love.
And it's in the Farmer's Almanac.
Yes, if it's in the Farmer's Almanac, I'll believe it. Yeah, I still subscribe, but
that in Mad Magazine.
It's a hand-me-down from prescription.
That's right.
Prescription subscription.
Old Benny Franklin. But yeah, I just love that. Like when there's a showstopper at the end and a nail biter and a barn burner and all the sports cliches that you can think of, and it's like. Yeah, it wasn't over till it was over.
Right.
And you're rooting for, you're like, oh, and either your butt clenches or you like get all cheery and stuff.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people don't like sports because it's almost a mom mentality thing, but I like it when it unites people over something that, you know, who's it going to hurt?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know? Well, I don't know. Some people get really pissy about
I'm not
sports.
Naming names Raiders fans.
Yeah. Same thing.
Well, no, it's funny that you should say that because that's exactly what happened to the Broncos a couple weeks ago when they played Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
All they needed was to get this field goal 3 points and when they won the game. 10 seconds left in the
game.
That
was a crazy
game. They ran it all the way down and Kansas City blocks it. And I mean, I was like, yes! And I thought, oh, I'm going to lose a lot of friends. I think.
And isn't that
was a
because,
cool game?
Yeah.
Wasn't Mahomes sleeping with the ref? Isn't that what everybody decided?
Everybody says they
were making out. He must be really good.
Yeah.
They
keep saying that the Kansas City pays everybody off this hand. I'm like, you know.
I'd like
whatever.
To see that check. Like, how does nobody know?
Well, it was the week before we played the Broncos.
I'd like to see that.
The week before Mahomes ran out of bounces up, and there was a ref right there, and he goes, could you please tell me when they're coming behind me and chasing me? He was making
joking.
A joke everybody in Bronco Nation or even around the world. I mean, see right there, it's paid off. He's got
get over yourself.
I'm like, oh my God,
Well, then Tom Brady, that one time he was walking down the sideline just popping balls with like, they had a shank.
Yeah, you know those spikes they put a ticket on in the restaurant after it's done? He just had one of those.
He was just going, and like nobody knew.
No.
It was so weird.
And poking people in the butt.
I know, it was so
He was deflating people.
He's not the goat at all, he's the poker. That's
he's
what
a
they
midnight
call
joker.
Yes, exactly, yes, I was going to
okay, we digress.
That's all good.
Sports rituals.
Let's go into some meat. And we will talk about some of the teams and some of the players and some of their sports rituals.
Sure enough. Sure. That sounds like a lot of fun. Sounds we'll be good. Right back.
Hey there. Welcome back, witches. I have been asked to bring in the meat of the program of the sports rituals because I am the world's biggest sports fan.
Oh, yeah.
I have heard of sports. I have attended a sports program.
You know how to spell sports.
I do. Yeah. You can use a capital S or a lowercase s. Depending. And there's no silent R's.
No.
So that's nice. You just hit that hard R whenever you're
I was looking down and you said, and you said like, you go, deer, do, dee, dee, dee. So.
But I know a thing or two about how to use the internet.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a great idea. This is Lisa's show. Idea, and it's about sports rituals. And Daryl brought up some a week or two ago, and we decided to flesh it out. Mm-hmm. It's like, let's take every stupid thing we say and make a whole episode out of it. And I love it.
Yeah.
But I knew that these guys would talk a lot about hockey and maybe football and some other things. So I'm going to talk about what I think is the most superstitious major league sport, and that's baseball. So, do you guys know who Jason Giambi is?
Nope.
Giambi? Yep.
Sure, I don't. I don't know what team he's on.
Okay.
But whenever he's mixed in a slump or mired in a slump, he has an interesting superstition that he believes helps him break out of it. Oh, fuck, internet. That guy puts on a gold Speedo.
Oh.
Just so you know, he has a golden thong.
Okay.
Yep. Now you guys go while I find the rest of it.
So... maybe you didn't read the whole article. I'm not sure.
But no, he puts on a golden thong
and wears it throughout the game.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. For the whole week.
I want to see your thong, and I'm going to match you a pair of red underwear that Patrick Mahomes wears. The same red underwear every game.
Really?
Yes.
I'm going to match you that, and just assume that Jason Giambi, when he goes to bat, if he's a batter, mm-hmm. I don't freaking know. Maybe they all do it. I think they do.
All have to bat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes up and he goes, you know, when they walk up and they'll have a theme song, mm-hmm. his is solid gold.
Like or it's the thong song.
What was the thong song?
Thong song. We'll have to figure that out. I want to match you.
Okay. All right.
Serena Williams has a pair of lucky socks she always wears.
Oh, ooh, I believe so.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, I had that. She wears it. If she wears a pair of socks and then she wins, she wears that same pair of socks the next match.
Does she wash them, though?
That's the thing. Them between games.
No, she doesn't. She keeps the sweat.
Stinkfoot,
yeah.
We call her.
Yep. And
stinky foot.
She will continue to wear them to the next game.
Salty and crunchy.
Nice.
Gross.
Yeah. If a baseball player does not wear batting gloves, then there's a chance that they will develop calluses on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Moises Alou is known for peeing on his hands.
Oh, Moisey.
In an effort to make them tougher. The strategy certainly worked for Alou as he put up a .303 career batting average and he hit 332 home runs. Pissy hands.
Wow. That's taking it to a crazy level.
So,
I mean, if you got stung by a jellyfish or something, but.
I just don't even know what
that means. Moises, uric acid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, then how long does he leave it on for before he washes it? Does he never wash it?
So many questions.
He bats maybe two or three times a game. So
he pees before the game on his hands.
Yes.
And then goes.
He just goes out.
And then it's like.
They're having warm ups.
Or does he pee like during the week? Because he's
it's
just
the information
make...
I've been given.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna have to.
Yeah.
Ask
what
him
if
that.
He doesn't have to go? Does he have a backup vial?
I don't know. Or he has somebody next to. Hey, excuse me. Can you pee on this?
If I had a nickel.
Excuse me, sir. Okay. We all had talked about Patrick Waugh's really, and we hadn't all, I talked
we,
about,
yeah. mm-hmm.
when we say we, I mean I, have talked about Patrick Waugh's weird
rituals.
He talks to his goalposts. He doesn't step on the lines when he goes to the goal. He's not a goalie anymore. I don't know. I wonder if he does that in any, as a coach.
Well, he's out on the ice with them. I bet he does. I mean, he steps
still
over.
Steps over.
Because it's been in his head forever. So.
Maybe. But Daryl has some of his eating rituals.
Oh, yeah. This is kind of a crazy one. He has the same meal before every game and has since he was like in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
And he always has beef and peas.
And this makes me wonder again, like so much more, like, is that still like, because now he's a coach, he does it before.
You know what? It's funny how stamina. Many things go with you.
Yeah.
And I bet he's like, oh, we're in a slum. I've got to go back to beef and peas.
I know that when he was in Colorado, his favorite restaurant was Elway's, which is mostly a steakhouse and stuff. So I would
say.
They
got beef and peas.
Well, yeah.
I bet they put it on the menu for him.
Yeah. They're just like the Patrick Wall.
Yeah.
You want the wall plate?
Yeah. Beef.
I love beef and peas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Beef and peas. So English, and he's Canadian, yes?
He is Canadian.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that sounds
he's English. Quebecian.
Quebecian?
Which is from Canada. Hmm. Canada? Canada.
I do that sometimes, too. It's like Canada. Portlandia. Canada. USA.
I also, do you guys remember a gentleman by the name of Andy Hammond?
No.
Mm-mm.
So he was a goalie.
Okay.
The Hamburglar.
Yeah. Yeah. They called him the Hamburglar. I think that he played for the Avs for a while. For a minute, and then went to the Senators. But when he went to the Senators, he was a lot better.
Yeah.
Or he just got better, or they were playing him more. Whatever. I don't know. But they threw hamburgers out onto the ice when he would play, so much so that it was like distracting. It was like, we have to get the ice girls out here to get all the hamburgers. But yeah, his.
And one time it was funny because. I think they had won the game and they threw one out. He skated over and grabbed it and took a bite of the hamburger.
Yeah, it was great. I actually read this this article on it, and they're like, oh, Andy Hammond, with all the spit on that ice and everything that's on there, good for you. And I was like,
spit on that ice.
Oh, gross. But yeah, good for him. So that was
food ones are weird.
Didn't the Rockies have not a ritual so much as a tradition? If you got, if the Rockies got 7 home runs, you could get free tacos at Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Was there something like that with the Hamburglar? Did McDonald's do something?
I don't think so.
They should have. That would have been a great marketing thing.
It was just that with the Taco Bell thing. It was if we won the game.
If they won the game,
you got two free tacos
the next day.
Oh, I thought there would be a certain amount of home runs.
Yeah.
Maybe it could have changed. It could have evolved.
Well,
maybe
they were paying for it now. It's $20 for an enchilito if you can get one.
Seriously?
I'm just kidding. But every time I go to Taco Bell, it's insane. And I'm still hungry because they don't put enough horse meat in there.
You need to go to Del Taco. They still have
Del Taco.
And they're the best.
They're the best.
Way to go, Del Taco.
Yeah.
Well, food ones. Patrick Mahomes eats the same thing every year. He eats a grilled chicken sandwich and French fries with ketchup.
Well, that seems very logical.
And healthy for you.
Yeah,
half healthy.
Because I would do fried chicken.
I know that hockey players do. They have to have like something like 6,000 calories or something before.
Yeah,
like you said, spaghetti, stuff like that, because they
lose so much in the game.
Yeah. So many calories and with all the exercise and so much water weight too, I imagine.
Yeah.
But so I'm just imagining a bunch of young, buff, burly, athletic guys beforehand. They're having like a big old thing of fettuccine alfredo and a nice Chablis or something.
And then they're trashed on the ice. They're licking the ice and they're going, where's the salt from the hamburgers?
I've got enough calories.
Do you guys have any more players rituals?
I do.
Okay.
If you're done with the food thing, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah.
Hitters often like to get close to their bats back to the, what is it?
Baseball.
Yeah,
the
MLB?
It's the batter's box.
MLB. But occasionally, pitchers get in on the fun as well. New York Mets pitcher R.A. Dickey takes his choice of bats very seriously.
Whoa.
Dickey names each one of his bats, and they all have very creative monikers.
What a Dickey.
One of his bats is named Orchrist the Goblin Cleaver.
Oh!
There you go.
Well, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like golfers, they're like, oh, that's a rough shot. I'm going to need a 10 iron or a chipper or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, I'm going to need a goblin cleaver for this one. I've seen this guy.
Can you hand me the goblin cleaver, please? Please?
Do you mind if I borrow your gobbler?
Oh, my gosh.
There's a bunch in here about wearing the same underwear and socks. No. That must be a universal thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Tiger Woods, he wears a red shirt if he plays on Sundays.
Yeah, if he works at Target.
Every single, that's a funny thing.
I thought he always wore red shirts.
He wears a red shirt.
Yes, I'm Tiger from State Farm.
Yeah.
He says, exactly. I am Tiger from State Farm. Like a good tiger, State Farm is there.
What are you wearing, Tiger?
I'm wearing red. Yeah, he said he wears it because his mom says it's flatters him. The color flatters him.
Sweet. Like, yeah, okay. His mom's the only woman he never cheated on.
Or beat.
Oh, hey, don't go there. How dare you? Oh, his name is Tiger. What about teams? Some rituals that teams together do.
Okay, talk about it. Tell me.
So what about the whole playoff beard thing with hockey? Tell us about that, Daryl.
Yeah, that's been a tradition for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I think the funny thing is because some of these rookies come into the league and they try and they get like four or five hairs on their chin or something.
Because as long as you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, as long as you're in the playoffs, you don't shave.
You don't shave.
Because they think it's superstitious. But yeah, so these guys would come in. So Nate McKinnon, when he came in, he was, what, 17, 18 years old.
Kiddo.
And so we actually did go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing him. And same thing with Matt Duchene. He couldn't grow anything either. But he had a little tiny little hair coming out. And they'd be like showing him, y'all.
Look like look a witch hair. Whisker.
I remember they
right
asked
on my chin.
The first year that Patrick Waugh was a coach for the Avalanche. They asked him if he was going to do the playoff beard. And he goes, "That's a thing for the players, not me.
Yeah, not for me.
Yeah, not
I don't think you could, or could he?
Oh yeah,
he could grow if he wanted to.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, they you know anybody can do whatever
no,
they
but
want.
Yeah, he's got facial hair.
And hockey always looks so well put together.
Yeah,
yeah.
He has kind of a little beard,
like
and
a goatee situation.
Now. Yeah. And stuff. So I like it.
And then, like with the crazy rituals, like Detroit, they all throw octopuses.
That's a fan ritual.
Fan ritual and squids.
Yeah.
Player ritual.
Just really fast going back to team rituals.
Yeah.
The Avalanche right now are doing the thing with the big hat.
Yeah. It's if you are the first star of the game, what they consider the first star in their club.
Yeah. So I think that a few years ago, they had these Avalanche hats that were like upside down, and they were selling ice cream in them.
Oh, sure, yeah,
and stuff at the thing. And so I think Gabriel Landeskog was making whoever got player of the game to put it on their head. It was
a tiny little hat. Yeah.
Well, now they have those ginormous big hats.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
No.
Awesome.
I'll take a picture, but when I'm in the locker room, I'll go take a picture. But the first star of the game or the player of the game has to wear the big hat, and they're doing all these interviews and they look fucking ridiculous.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's so funny. So that's one of their team rituals. Now on to fan ritual. Oh, sorry.
Wait, sorry. You just reminded me of something. Yeah. Speaking of hats, have you guys ever heard of, well, especially as a drinker, me and Daryl, if you were like, hey, let's go out, and you're like, oh no, I was day drinking or I was doing this or whatever, and they're like, come on, you can rally, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And or it's 2 days in a row or something. But anyway, have you ever heard what a rally cap is?
No.
So in baseball, when they are losing by a bunch and they want to get everybody's morale back up again or whatever, they might turn the hat upside down or turn the real upside. They call it the rally cap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, we can do this. Let's turn this shit around, literally, figuratively, like yada, yada, yada. That's what a rally cap is.
And then when do they have drinks? After they win?
Nope.
Oh, that has nothing to do with it?
Rallying is like, okay, get back up. You can do it again.
Okay.
So if you're behind... Never mind.
And then you have a shot.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what they do.
Cool. So fan rituals.
Okay. Yeah. So that's like I said with the one with them throwing
squid or octopus. Squid.
But the new one that's in the league, and this is kind of a weird one and everything. But the new Utah hockey team—that's what they're called. They haven't got a name yet. They said that we're going to go with the Utah hockey team this year. Next year they're going to probably get their full name. Their fans have decided. They are going, when they score something, they're going to chug a beer out of whatever shoe you're wearing.
Yeah, ooh. That's what you were
the
talking
players.
About.
The players.
No, the fans.
The fans.
Yeah.
They're chugging beer out of their own shoes.
And they show this guy, and he pulls off this leather cowboy boot and pours his beer in there and then drinks it on down.
Barf.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially if you're Serena Williams.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I've had these socks on
that
for
beer is so salty.
Yes.
This beer is making me thirsty.
It's like a margarita beer.
Yeah, we were talking about that one. But for fans of ours who might be indoorsy like myself and maybe not watch that much hockey, will you explain what happens during a hat trick, what a hat trick is and what happens then?
Oh, I'm glad you had that because I have two different things on here.
Please.
Okay, so in hockey, if you score three goals, it's called a hat trick. If in lacrosse, if you score six goals, one player scores six goals, it's called a sock trick.
Oh.
And so.
Do people throw socks?
They throw socks.
I've never.
And so for hockey, if you score the hat trick, they throw the hats out. Well, back in the day, they used to scoop them up and they would give the hats to the players.
Oh.
And the players like, I don't want all these. What am I going to do with all these hats?
Yes.
So then they kind of got smart to it. They take them now and they take them to a dry, you know, dry clean them and everything.
Yeah.
And then they hand them out to like homeless people, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
They hand them, they charity and stuff like that. But some players will go get one hat.
Oh,
and from, still,
from the hat tricks.
Because oh, it's such a huge deal.
I want this one. And so they will. Some guys are superstitious in that sense. They want to at least get a hat from their hat trick. So I think that's kind of cool. But the sock trick one, we actually went to a lacrosse game and they did get a sock trick. And I thought it, but people carry them, you know, in their purse.
I don't remember that.
You know, is that the Mammoth? Is that our lacrosse team?
Yeah.
Lacrosse?
I think Daryl was with his other wife in that.
Maybe I thought it was you with you, but maybe it was when I went with my mom.
When I think about you, I touch my socks.
I get my socks off.
You get your mom and your wife.
Speaking of threesomes, so when do people do like bands or bowlers when they get a turkey, which is three?
Oh, yes. They usually, I've heard this, they go stand up there and go, quack, quack.
I used to draw me. When they get six in a row, it's a duck. It's a giant duck.
It's a goose. Duck, goose. That's when there's three.
Turducken.
So they run around that place.
Turducken if you have a perfect game.
The funny part of that whole thing is like there's bowling fans.
The fans are like, did you see that
somebody was watching?
This guy's about to get a turkey.
And then the bowler's like, somebody saw that?
They hold up a sign of their hand.
I used to draw you.
Oh, my God.
That's why bowlers have to dangle.
Yeah, that's why they always have five up in the air.
That's right.
What about a Gordie Howe hat trick?
Do you know what the definition of Gordie Howe?
I do.
No, I've never
heard of it. Go ahead. You tell it.
So a Gordie Howe hat trick. Gordie Howe was a player. Hockey player. Our friends Deb and Troy named their dog after him.
Yes.
Very, Detroit. Very great Detroit player.
Great dog, great
mm-hmm. player.
Yes.
It's when you have a goal, an assist, and a fight all in the same game.
Whoa. I've never heard of that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often now because the rules are so crazy.
Sure.
Yeah, boy. And not the same people. Like, you know, defensemen usually fight.
Right.
Defensemen aren't the ones who usually get the
right. The do people point, throw like so. A boxing glove at them?
No, they throw the dogs.
Go at it.
Holyfield deer.
Well, they throw a dog and a piece of Holyfield deer.
I'm prepared for anything in this game.
They're eating the pets.
So much going on here.
The only time is when they play in Springfield. Is, you know,
some other fan rituals. Hockey.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm imagining you and Daryl getting in a fight at the game. You forgot to bring the fucking dog again.
No, it's we only fight about hockey.
You know what's funny? We used to go watch, who was the Go Fish? It was the Denver or the Colorado.
The Cutthroat.
The Colorado Cutthroat. We'd go watch him. Well, they had a ritual. You would buy a fish and, you know.
It was a foam fish.
Okay.
This big.
And they would bring out these buckets and you would have to try and throw them from where you were at. And if you got in the bucket.
That was such a fun
time. $100
And they would, you'd win money and stuff. But, God, I kept them. Because I'm like, I go, these are going to be worth money somehow.
Another magnets. What was the deal? The NHL was on strike or something?
Yeah.
Those were fun games.
Oh,
yes,
they were great.
Really fun.
I can never remember the name of the fish, though. I'm glad you remembered it. I'm like, you know, the pike.
Yeah,
the tuna.
Yeah. I have a scarf still.
Oh, that's cool. You throw the fish in a bucket.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's smart.
And then it had a number on it, and you would sign like what your numbers were.
I love that.
You picked up your fish, and then when you throw it, then if you were like, oh my God, I got in the bucket, you would go back, and you're like, I'm number 53.
Yeah, like the duck derby.
Yeah, like the duck derby. Yeah.
Love that.
Okay, so what is, Daryl, what's the, it's a hockey, not hockey, a college football team that they're now the fans are throwing tortillas.
What?
Yeah, we just played them last week.
Colorado played.
Texas Tech.
Texas Tech.
Yeah, so tortilla Texas Tech, but they take a middle of it out so that it has a little bit of wind.
Velocity.
And they throw tortillas everywhere.
They huck them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was stopping the game. Like the refs were like, "Okay, fucking stop it, dudes."
They're "Come on,"
because they don't have ice girls
and they don't have a hamburger.
It was funny because one of our players, He actually picked one up and stuck it in his little fanny pack thing.
Like he was going to keep it for a souvenir.
Well,
he,
I guess then after that, they said that he autographed it and
I
everything.
Love that.
So I don't know if they're going to maybe try and auction it off for like a...
It's going to get moldy.
Well, I don't know. This day and night, what does mold? Everything's got so many preservatives
That's
in it.
That's a good point.
I've got a Twinkie from 1970.
No,
the fans
don't.
Just want to participate. That's
it's
so fun.
It's so funny. Yeah, yeah.
That I said, no, you don't, because that was a joke that I
Oh, you ate
it.
My Twinkie.
You thought you did. That was a good one, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thank you for explaining it, because I wouldn't have got there.
Throw away the Christmas cookies, and I'm going to eat your ding.
What's the deal? You might know this, Daryl. Lisa, not that. Yeah. What do women know about sports, am I right?
Right.
No, the Army-Navy games, and it's usually the first Saturday of every December, and when they play each other, huge rivalry and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's something with push-ups. Like the cadets, I think the freshmen the other side, they have to do a certain amount, like the amount of push-ups for the points that the other team has when they get the next touchdown.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Right?
Yeah, it's something like that. It's just a tradition that they've always done. It's really cool because they'll score and you see them down there. And they have one of their upperclassmen standing above them, like making sure they do them all and stuff. Yeah.
That's the drill sergeant.
What I like the best about, that's one of my most favorite games, is the Army-Navy game. Seriously.
It's cool.
And this year, Army is undefeated so far. Navy was undefeated. They've lost a couple games, but it's going to be a good one.
They were undefeated for like 80 years or something crazy.
Oh, they were badass. Yeah. But I like when they're done with a game. Whoever wins, they go over to their crowd and they sing their song, their fight song, and then they go over. But if Army loses and Navy wins, they'll go there and Army will stand behind them.
Yes.
So when they sing their song and then they turn and they go to their people, and Navy follows them and stands behind them.
It's like, oh, Canada.
I got the chills now thinking about it. It's such a cool, neat. And that type of stuff. They should have more of that in all sports, you know.
I agree.
Everybody should sing in sports.
You know, the one thing.
Well, good sportsmanship.
You know how at hockey, at the end of a playoff series, they all shake hands and stuff like that.
Beautiful.
You don't see that kind of stuff like football. You know, they're like, I ain't going to shake
it. Football, kind of, they pat each other's butts.
Well, they kind of do, but some...
It's a little gay.
Yeah.
It's a little tappy.
I
mean, I'm into it. That's cool.
Perfect. What about, okay, so other things where they throw things onto either the ice or the field or whatever, the Florida Panthers do the rats.
Mm-hmm.
That was because, I guess,
they found a
live rat in the locker room. And they threw it onto the ice, and ever since then, they won that game.
Oh.
And since then, now they throw plastic.
They don't let Ozzy go to games because he wants to eat the rats.
No, that's a bat. And then...
Sharon!
Nashville...
Ozzy, you got a rat in your mouth.
The Nashville Predators, they do that with fish. Is it bass?
Catfish.
Catfish, yeah. So
they throw a big old catfish,
people are smuggling in these ginormous.
Well, no, the funny thing about it, they say they're smuggling in, but I think it's like this. Okay, go ahead. You do it every time.
Security looks the other way.
I don't see you. Yeah, so they do that. And then.
Just don't smoke in here, but bring your gigantic wildlife without a permit.
The other one was the college team that does the cup thing. Explain that. Where they make the.
Oh, no, that's not a college team. That's the.
It's a
USFL team.
Okay, football.
It's the Washington USFL team. They started this, and what it's called the cup snake, and they have people that are chugging their beers, and they start making a cup snake.
Okay.
And it will go from the first level
all the way up
to the top, and they banned them from doing it a couple of times, and the owner of they're like, why? This is getting national attention. This is
That's
cool.
That's really cool.
It's also selling a lot of beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're making money doing this. So
revenue from DUIs.
Yes.
Yeah, tickets. Everything.
Promote irresponsible drinking.
Yes,
and creativity. Yeah. I like making animals out of dishes.
But you're right,
it
did kind of have a college feel to it, but I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah. My last one, I don't know if you guys have any more, but I think, and I didn't research this, it's all from memory, so...
I love those.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
You have a great memory.
But the Hershey Bears started throwing the teddy bears onto the ice.
Cute.
They're a farm team. They were our farm team, correct?
They were our farm team for a while.
And so they did it as a fundraiser for kids. And
they gather up all the teddy bears and stuff and take them to different children's hospitals.
Yeah.
And hand them out.
But it's so funny because it's gotten so big that they're not the only ones that do it anymore. A lot of different farm teams do it. But people are buying like those ginormous 6 foot pairs and stuff.
The one you can zip yourself up in.
Like throw it over the thing and stuff. And it's just like you're in this mound of like even the players sometimes will just go and like jump into all the bears. There's just tons and tons. I think that is like the best of all their traditions.
I think last year they made a world record of how many, because I mean it was stacked up.
It was stacked up to like the glass.
Oh my god, how many bears were coming in.
So I thought that's a really cool one too.
Yeah,
that's a great one to end on.
Yeah, you guys know things. We do. We're smart like that.
We don't have lives.
We are smart.
We stay home and watch it.
We'll now be back with what you're talking about.
Oh, Canada, our home and native land.
Hi, guys. This is the segment that we call Witcha Talking About. That's Witcha with a witch.
Witcha.
And a cha.
That's awfully clever.
Yeah. Who thought of that? Oh, my gosh. That's adorable. So Witcha Talking About is we just talk about whatever we want to. And so I guess I'll go first.
Witcha Talk About, Lise?
So what I'm talking about is that we have talked about this in the past, and I wanted to give a little bit of an update about that there was a guilty verdict in the Delphi murders.
Yes.
Richard Allen was found guilty on all counts in the Delphi double murder trial. I've talked about this, I think, several times. It's one of those unsolved cases. It went unsolved for...
Many years.
I'm going to say a lot. Seven, I think, before five? Five or seven before the guy was... Anyways, I'll read it to you, and then you'll know like I will, even though I read it before.
That's a nutty one.
Right. So, Richard Allen has been found guilty of two counts of murder and two counts of felony murder, which I don't understand. How can he be two different...
One's bad and one's real bad.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
You really messed up, man.
In the highly publicized Delphi murder trial, prosecutors said that Allen killed 13-year-old Abigail Williams and 14-year-old Liberty German in 2017, cutting their throats and leaving their bodies near a trail in Delphi, Indiana. The case went cold for more than 5 years until Allen was arrested in 2022. The jury spent about 19 hours deliberating before reaching a verdict. Regardless of what the verdict is, people aren't going to be happy, is what somebody said. I believe the evidence is firmly convincing that Richard Allen is the bridge guy. He killed Abigail and Livy. McLeod told the jury, referring to the video taken from Liberty's phone showing a man walking down the High Bridge Trail. Delphi law enforcement have long held the belief that bridge guy shown in the video is the man suspected in the case. If you guys remember, Liberty was put it on Snapchat and they had video of the guy who actually abducted and then ended up killing
down the bridge.
He said. So McLean shows jurors graphic photos of the girl's body and the bridge guy video, which he said captured the final moments of the girl's lives, and a recording of Allen confessing to his wife during a phone call from the prison. I did it. Allen could be heard telling his wife, I killed Abby and Liberty. Defense attorney is closing arguments, says that those were false confessions and lack of DNA or weapon evidence should lead to an acquittal. The defense truths of what you heard over the past several weeks is more important than what you're hearing today. The defense further argued that no physical evidence ties Allen to the killings and said his confessions was made were false and stemmed from being in solitary confinement for months as his mental state deteriorated. The Delphi murder case goes back to February 13th, 2017, when Abby and Liberty were on a hike on the High Bridge in Delphi. The two girls were reported missing after they failed to meet Libby's father that afternoon. The next day, their bodies were found, both dead from their throats being slashed and partially covered by sticks. The case attracted people's attention partly because of the video and audio recordings of the suspect taken from Libby's smartphone. The video shows a man walking to the bridge with his hands in his pockets, and the audio included a man muffling voice said, "Guys, down the hill." Although police circulated the audio and still photos from the video just days after the killing and identified the bridge guy as their prime suspect, the case ran cold for more than 5 years until he was arrested in 2022. Allen had seemingly invaded police notice, staying in the small town of Delphi and working at a local CVS pharmacy until the clerk digitalized tips related to the investigators in September 2022 noticed that he placed himself in the scene of the crime. Just days after the body were discovered, Allen told police he had been on the trail during the time frame that the girls were thought to have been killed. I listened to some of the podcasts about this. Mm-hmm. They said that one of the circumstantial evidence was that they had found a shell casing from a gun, and even though there was no gunshot with the girls, the shell casing had come from his gun.
And so he was trying to hurt somebody.
Well, he was there.
Yes.
That's what they're saying is that he was there. Dropped or whatever, and then he was going to just abduct him or rape him or whatever, and then he ended up killing him. So the prosecution said that he confessed 60 different times. Mm. But they said that to his therapist, his mother, and his wife. But they said that was because his mental state was compromised. The defense said that because of the sticks and everything in the case, that like they were covered with sticks, that was ritualistic, which kind of goes with the theme today, and that it was Odinism, and that he was being told by Odinists, which is some kind of a cult, mm-hmm. that to take the fall for it, confess, because if you don't, we'll have your whole family killed, this and that. That was part of the defense, which didn't sit very well. There was absolutely no DNA evidence, like no
semen or hair
or anything. So that was one of the defense things that said, mm-hmm. You can't be. The prosecution said that the bridge guy video and the voice was matched perfectly. And the defense said that, well, he never left Delphi. He had 5 years to leave and get out of that. If he was guilty, he would have left. Anyways, long story short, they convicted him. Whether or not you think that he did it, they did. And he is going to jail forever. So
that doesn't sound like a sound dunk, certainly.
Yeah. So there's been people on both sides of the spectrum. I hope that all I can hope for is that maybe it gives Libby and Abby's families some kind of resolution, if that's what they're thinking. I don't know. If it isn't, I'm really sorry for Richard Allen's family, but I don't know. It seems like the prosecution went on this.
Right. So. Well, and people want answers, especially a small town like that or whatever. It makes everybody feel better, which doesn't make it right. Mm-mm. But what made me feel better, which it's all about my feelings, mm-hmm. That showcasing means a lot because it seems like even though that was only, 7-8 years ago?
Right.
With that smartphone technology, and of course she was trying to hide that she was recording him and stuff. Mm-hmm. It is just so much exponentially better now. But from that minimal, whatever it was, 20-second thing that she got, with, bad visuals and bad audio, it didn't sound like there was anyone else around.
Right.
And there was no interruption or interference auditorily or visually or whatever. And if they can put him there with that shell casing, if it wasn't planted.
Right.
That means that's huge.
I think
that's huge.
How did they get her cell phone?
It was on her
body. Probably.
She did it all when he was.
So
like,
after he murdered him and stuff, he didn't check the bodies for anything like that.
That's probably crazy to begin with.
Or he just ran like he was. He didn't mean. I mean, he didn't mean to do it or whatever. But he was like, "Oh my God, I can't fucking believe I did this," and he just didn't check it. I mean, he left absolutely no DNA or whoever it was. If it was somebody else, left no DNA evidence. So he obviously didn't touch them.
Right. Was it a crime of opportunity? Was he planning it? And then also, another reason why I don't think that other people were around and the shell casing is so damning if it wasn't planted. It was like February. right?
Yeah.
It's not hiking weather. I think those girls were out there alone.
They were, and it just happened to be a really nice day.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have been like planned.
Right.
It would have been an opportunity.
Right, not a ritual, like, oh, we go hiking every Thursday.
I think
it's
probably something that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Just a spur of the moment type thing.
And he was thinking about it, but it was like, oh my God, look, this opportunity came. Here's two
little
girls.
Nobody around.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. But my whole thing is that, not the whole thing, but the biggest thing that I keep thinking of is, isn't it crazy in this day and age, since the 80s or whatever, we're still talking about cults,
right?
That we're still blaming, like, I don't know enough about Odinism or whatever and this and that, but have you guys ever heard of a real true life cult that are actually sacrificing people?
No.
And stuff
they usually do some way sexier stuff.
No, they're eating the pets.
Yeah.
Don't eat the pets.
Yeah. So, I mean, seriously, like, that's always, it's like, well, they were Satanists. They murdered them. They were Odinists. They were emos. I don't know what they were.
It makes you wonder if that's what the defense has fallen to.
Yeah.
You know, because the sticks, like, to me, when you said that they were covered up by sticks, it showed guilt. It showed remorse, shame, and also maybe, you know, they knew what they were doing. It's not like, you know, I have this psychotic multiple personality or whatever. If any of those things are true, you still need to go away for life because you're a threat.
Right.
But, yipes. The guy's obviously unhinged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be. Did the confessions come before or after solitaire? Because solitaire can make anybody nuts.
I think it was after, and that's what the defense had said and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
I don't know how crazy I could be to actually admit to doing something that I didn't.
Right.
But I don't know. I've never been in military before, so let's try it.
Yeah, I'm assuming that jail is super uncomfortable for anybody, prison, especially people that have hurt little girls.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that they thought that.
They thought.
Okay, if I pretend I'm nuts, though, you know, at least I'll be in an institution instead of prison.
Yeah.
Or in solitaire again. Who knows? It's a big, ugly mess, I'm sorry for those girls and their families, but golly.
Yeah. It's nice to see a resolution one way or the other.
Yeah, so. And that showcasing makes me feel better.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Shame on you, Richard Allen.
Yeah.
Don't shoot at anybody.
No.
And leave your shells lying around.
Yeah.
Clean your shelves up, for Christ's sake.
Hey, do you guys want to know what I'm talking about?
Sure. Yes.
You've heard of icebergs, like iceberg lettuce, right?
Yes.
Have you ever heard of fatbergs?
No.
Fatbergs.
I just found out about them this week.
Oh.
I'm going to cite a reliable source called Wikipedia. But I did see it as a news source that I couldn't find. But a fatberg is a rock-like mass of waste matter in a sewer system formed by the combination of flushed non-biodegradable solids, such as wet wipes, with fat, oil, and grease, FOG, deposits. Mm. The handling of fog waste and the buildup of its deposits are a long-standing problem in waste management.
I'm so hungry.
With Fatberg, a more recent neologism. Fatbergs have formed in sewers worldwide with the rise in use of disposable so-called flushable cloths. Several prominent examples were discovered in the 2010s in Great Britain, their formation accelerated by aging Victorian sewers. Fatbergs are costly to remove, and they have given rise to public awareness campaigns about flushable waste. Luckily for you guys, I have a picture of a dried section of a Whitechapel fatberg on display at the Museum of London. Dude, they're big.
Yeah.
They're real big. Fatbergs.
So that's what they really mean when they say non-flushable.
Yeah.
You know, or even the flushable ones. Yeah. But still.
Yeah. You get them together with condoms and cotton buds and lipids.
And some people flush diapers gross.
Needles.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, that's
horrible. Your needles and stuff.
Gross. Yeah. Yes. No.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Fatbergs.
Well, mine's a little bit light, but a little bit of a joke and a farce, I think. But, I think one of the biggest jokes just happened to the U.S. U.S. and anybody who tuned in last week for the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight. I mean, I got tied into the circus. I wanted to see this, everything. Anybody that watched it knows that Netflix couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Too many people streaming, too many people coming in, people trying to watch it. That I couldn't watch my regular Netflix shows. I was. I pleaded on social media, please, just can I watch? All I want to do is I want to watch, you know, Cobra Kai, for Christ's sake.
It overloaded the system.
I want to watch some real fighting. But no, the Mike Tyson fight just was the biggest joke. I mean, it was sad to even see. The guy looked week before in the greatest condition and comes in looking like old Father Time, can't walk. He had a thing on his leg. Well, Paul came in this lowrider truck and everything. They made Mike Tyson walk into the rink. I'm like, he was tired before he even got to the rink. The poor guy's, 58 years old.
Unfair disadvantage.
But the thing that I thought was kind of funny was this news article came out, and it had said, that it was one of the biggest fights ever seen. And it brought in a gate value of $18 million.
Yeah.
But guess who's people turned this report out was Most Valuable Promotions. That's Jake Paul's promotion company.
That seems unfair.
That put this out, and I'm like, come on. And even watching the fight, Tyson caught him a couple of times, probably could have had him. But in one time, you could see Paul kind of hug him, he held on to him. And was, they're like, there's somebody saying, he said, you're not going to get paid.
Yeah.
If you knock me out. So Tyson kindly pats him on his back. After that is when he turned a total shit. But he could have probably taken this thing.
So do you think it was real?
I think it was totally rigged. I think it was totally rigged.
That's what I heard too.
And it's sad to say, and Tyson made $20 million. And I'm like, dude, are you going to really set face to $20 million? I mean, you need $20 million that bad to make yourself look that bad.
I don't know. I'll take it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's just sad because to think of who he used to be and the things, the people that he fought, he said, would never back down on anything.
Came from nothing, though. He really pulled himself up by his bootstraps. Well, I love that guy.
It was, everything came out about, Tyson. Isn't, one time he was in his early 20s or something. He was worth $400 million, and he blew that money and stuff. And so
he had fun, though.
Oh, God, exactly. Did he ever. Yeah. Hookers and whores. And
yeah,
hookers
it was and whores. The hangover.
Yeah, and cocaine and this and that. But, so now there's all these guys that are really pissed off about the whole ordeal. And a couple of retired MMA fighters that don't do boxing at all, they're like, why don't you take me on?
Yeah.
And so this one guy, I didn't write his name down, but it was funny. He stopped him when Jake Paul was coming out of the ring after the fight. He stopped him and confronted him and said, now take my challenge.
Yeah.
And I'll put my millions up and you put your millions up. Take my challenge. And he just kept walking by him. I'm like, yeah, he won't fight anybody because it's got to be a circus. It's got to be an exhibition. It's got to be, to promote him, this and that. Muhammad Ali's grandson, they asked him, would you ever think about fighting him? He goes, he's not a boxer. I'm a boxer.
Right.
He goes, this is a family tradition to me. This is something I grew up with. He goes, he didn't grow up with it.
He's not a performer.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, we started at the same time.
I had heard from one of my clients that she heard. And
he said
so
she's
on and so yeah. on, that Netflix bought the rights to Monday Night Football or all of football, the
Amazon
NHL.
Prime is doing.
Prime has it.
But Monday. Next year, I think it's going to be on Netflix.
Oh, yes. Geez, that'll be great.
And so that's the reason that they did this was to test it out to see if they could get
that many people
they
on
have the bandwidth or whatever the word is.
Guess what? Next year, our Netflix is going to go skyrocketing. We won't be able to have
it. Also,
because they got to up their towers or do whatever they got to do. To get it better.
Yeah, this is true. I don't know, but maybe they won't because they're going to get so much money from the NFL.
Yes, all of our IT and telecom friends and stuff are going to be laughing at this hysterically.
Yeah.
Do they have enough towers? I don't fucking know.
Do they have enough towers?
Do you have the bandwidth for a lot of people to watch you at the same time?
Obviously didn't.
Go punchy, punchy.
People are liking this type of stuff. But yeah, it was funny because it kept recycling itself. And I'm like, God, and so I'd have to.
Well, Daryl thought that because he was watching one TV with the Avalanche game. And then the other one. And he thought because he was watching
your
both
fault.
Of them.
I thought it was me. Yeah.
So I got
I am destroying this.
Yeah, so I got on Facebook and I saw everybody else complaining about it. And I was like, it's not just you.
Yes.
It's like just slow for everyone.
You didn't see me doing that because I wouldn't complain until it was over.
Right.
That's my superstition.
And you would watch it anyways.
I'm just like waiting for
Did
the
Did you
buffering.
Watch the Tyson fight?
We started it. We were in Evergreen at Brian's brother's house. And we didn't know that there would be so many opening acts.
I tell you what, though. The opening fights were something to watch.
The lady fight was amazing.
Lady fight was great.
God, Daryl kept. So one of the girls kept hitting the other girl with her head.
She kept headbutting her.
So she cracked the other girl right over her eye.
Her eye was split open like this.
Daryl goes, oh, it looks like a vagina. It looks like a vagina. And then it kept getting to be a bigger and bigger vagina. Oh, my God. It was so horrible. I couldn't even look anymore because her eye was so split.
It was an eye vagina.
I'm so glad I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Iginus.
But it was a good fight.
But anyway, that's what you're talking about over here.
Way to go, ladies.
Awesome. Well, let's get back with some wow, wow, wow. Wowza,
wow, wow.
That burns.
Now, ladies, it's time for the Cosmic Seeker of Love. He's more than just a mule, and he ain't no sloppy Joe. Oh, yeah, he's the man witch. Oh, yeah.
Wow, 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 wow,
hey!
Wow, 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 wow,
hey!
Wow, wow.
Wow, wow.
Thank you for coming to the Wow
Rock and
moment.
Roll Park View.
Yes, yes. All righty, guys. It is our Wow time, and... like we always say, we have our specialties that Shelley signed us up for the wow moment. Mine just happens to be music. Shelley's happens to be true crime. And Lisa's happens to be animals.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. We all love it. We love everything we've been assigned. Yes.
You make it sound like a project.
We love it. We love it.
We love
you
it.
You do animals.
You like it.
You're going to like true crime, or there's going to be some crime to be true. Yeah.
Shelley wants to go last, so you go
she
first.
Wants to go last.
I went for last time.
Mine, this was a really fun one because I wanted to do go along with the theme of the show, the rituals and how we do it. But I got some band rituals that they do. It's pretty fun.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah, so the band Weezer. We all like Weezer, of course.
Mm.
You know what those guys like to do before they go on stage?
Get a handy?
Well, yeah, you would think. They like to play a little frisbee.
Oh, that's more wholesome.
They go out to the before right where the stage is and where the arena, and they, you know, throw a little frisbee around, you know?
That'll get the blood going.
Yeah, kind of fun. That's why they said it gets their hand motions because they like to do a lot of, I've never seen Weezer, but they do. I guess they do a lot of stuff like
the
that.
YMCA,
yeah,
jumping jack.
Weezer, they spell the name
Weezer.
Out.
Weezer.
Who's your biggest influence? The Village People,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah. This one's a kind of a cool one too. The Foo Fighters, they jam Michael Jackson, and dance, and while they're dancing to Michael Jackson songs, they take some shots of Jaeger.
Oh, well, why not?
Mm-hmm. Just like Michael.
Just to correct you, it's Jaeger.
Jaeger.
This one was kind of a funny one. It's an old one, but I guess he has been doing it since his early days of in the 70s. But old Alice Cooper, he watches Kung Fu movies and eats lots of sugar before going on stage. But one of his favorite sugar treats is Skittles. Hell yeah.
Nothing says so Skittles like Alice
that
Cooper.
That's right. Taste the rainbow.
Reminded me of a little old band named Van Halen.
Yeah.
Which has a weird ritual.
Mm-hmm.
In their rider, they always requested that there be no brown M&Ms in a big bowl of M&Ms.
Obviously. They're the worst ones.
Yeah.
You know. And,
it tastes
yeah,
so much different.
It's kind of funny. Like, the green ones. Remember we used to say the green ones, you could get laid if you had the green ones.
Did sure.
You
it
yeah,
made you horny.
Made you horny, yeah. But those were just a couple of simple ones to do. You know, there was a whole page of just some of the weird stuff. The Stones ate, it was kind of a weird ritual. Ate some weird foods. Keith Richards had some weird like meal that he always wanted. I think it was shepherd's. I think it was shepherd's pie. Oh, kind of a weird thing. Like, but that's kind of tough, you know.
A bottle of Jack and a fillet of fish.
Yeah. Give me a shot of heroin and I'm ready to go. But
that usually does a trick.
Yeah, gets them going. But yeah, that was
pizza
that's
and
my,
cocaine.
Well, that's
yeah,
your wow.
That's my wow. Just a few little things. But yeah, you can kind of go check them out and see what else ones you can find and kind of fun.
Cool. Quite topical. Thank you, Daryl.
Wow.
So mine is about. I sent this reel to Shelley and another one of my clients, because that's where I get all my information, said that when you send like memes or reels to people, that's the way you show that you love them.
Oh, so, for real?
Yeah,
because reels you really, are your love language.
You really want them to understand that and like the things that you like, and if you take the time to do that, it means a lot. So,
or you think that they'll like it, and it'll make them laugh or smile.
Exactly.
I want to make
this
your day.
About a little dog named Ollie. He looked to me to be maybe a golden retriever. Maybe I think a golden retriever or a blonde lab. We're going to go with golden retriever. His name was Ollie, and he had an emotional support pumpkin.
Oh, you did send me this. It's darling.
Oh, my God. So they took him. He has his own Instagram. Ollie does. He has 2.3 million viewers. Mm. But this, and so they follow him around a lot, but they took him to the pumpkin patch and he fell in love with the pumpkin. He carried it around with him through the whole pumpkin patch that day.
Like by the stem?
By the stem.
Okay.
They had to bring it home. When they brought it home, he put it in the bed with him and slept with it and then was taking it on walks. And it's not a small pumpkin.
No.
It was relatively, like medium size.
Like a fourth of his size.
Yeah. And, he would take it on walks. He would bring it into the bed. Then the stem broke off.
Oh, no.
And so
the look on his face.
He was very upset.
He broke it.
Yeah. And so they put it in a basket. Mm. And so then he was carrying the basket around with the pumpkin. And so, but now it's starting to rot.
Oh, no.
So it said, keep tuned to find out what happens.
You go out there and you get your dog a plastic pumpkin.
I don't know what's going to happen. I keep watching it to find out what happens. I do not know yet, but I will keep you guys informed. I will put the reel on our Facebook page. Hopefully Amanda will also put it on Instagram. And we'll see what happens to Ollie and his pumpkin.
Will he be Ollie pumpkin free?
Possibly.
Oh, it just makes you wonder, what is it about it that just
He like walked right up to it and then grabbed it and then just kept walking with
chose it.
He loved it.
Yeah, that's my pumpkin now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're besties.
Mm-hmm. That's what I say about you, but it's because your hair.
Did she nod you on the head? Come on.
What happens when my stem falls off?
We'll see. I'll carry you around in a basket.
Oh, I love it. I think that's really going to be what our old age is like.
Probably. Okay.
That was an excellent one, Lisa.
Thanks.
So I have a pre-wow and then a regular wow, but also dog related.
Oh.
So my wow, my well of wisdom is true crime. But before that, I wanted to tell you guys a little story about, I was at work at the burger joint the other day, and I was just touching tables and checking on everybody's food and stuff. And this older couple was here from, I believe, the Carolinas. I can't remember where they were from. But anyway, there's a hotel right next to my place. So there's a lot of tourists that come in, which is cool too. But anyway, they had just had their first grandchild. And I'm like, oh, that's wonderful. And they were just beaming and so exciting. And I congratulated them. And I said, oh, did you have a boy or a girl? And they told me. And I said, what's her name? And they told me, well, right after they told me the kid's name, which is an awesome name, they said, yeah, so their initials are WOW. And it's W-O-W is their monogram. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's amazing. And then I told him about the podcast and our thing, because everything's about me.
Yeah.
Right.
And
way to spread the word.
Grandchild, schmanchild, yeah. Have you heard of this podcast out of Arvada, Colorado?
Right.
And so anyway, I was excited about it because I'm like, I've never met anybody with those initials. That's a beautiful name. Congratulations. Went to the host stand, completely forgot about them altogether.
Mm-hmm. What's his name? Willy Owonka?
So Winifred Olivia.
So they were getting ready to leave, and I thought that we had had a nice bonding moment and stuff, and I was really happy for them, and their happiness was contagious. And they looked kind of stricken as they were leaving, and they're like, we just wanted to tell you, please don't say our grandchild's name on your podcast.
Aww.
And I'm like, I would never dream of that, you know, because of privacy and all that other stuff. And of course not. And then as they were leaving, I was like, I was totally going to say that kid's name. I didn't think of it, because our listeners are so kind and giving and generous and all this other stuff. But maybe one of the robots that listens to us in Taiwan or what, I don't know. You know, maybe somebody might have evil intentions about a wild child. But anyway, wasn't that the craziest interaction?
That is very strange.
Yeah, but they just,
must be one
they
hell
were
of
worried
a w
about
name,
it.
Huh?
It's wonderful.
Tell us later.
I'll tell you guys off camera. Well, but it was so, I was so happy for them. And then they looked so worried. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I will never besmirch your sweet little baby angel.
That is so nice. You just don't tell Keith Richards, because he'll drink the blood of the baby wow.
Keith, come on. Okay, so my actual wow.
Yeah.
My well of wisdom is true crime. True crime rule number 48, celebrate hero canine dogs. Aww. I've got two dog stories. So I'm going to start with There's a dog named Bo, and he won the Hero Dog Award 2024 for locating a child taken at knife point. This North Carolina police dog also found a missing elderly dementia patient and an 11-year-old child with autism, not all on the same day. Oh. I mean, this dog is really diverse.
Yeah.
It's out there. And he found some robbery suspects amongst, like, heavy scent contamination. And I don't know what that means. Like, they were all wearing Dracar. I'm not sure.
But and Polo.
He's like, you guys smell bad and also out of date.
Yeah.
And also, like, teenagers from the 80s. Mm-hmm. But what a good boy. So way to go, Bo. And I didn't know that there were those awards. And that might come up in a later show about award shows. Secondly, do you guys know who Gary Hilton is?
That's Paris Hilton's brother.
No. Oh. So maybe this will remind you. So this guy was a bad guy and a killer. But what he was famous for, he was on a Dateline or Six. He, in the 90s, was a film student and came up with this movie called The Deadly Run about basically hunting human women.
Oh.
And, you know, it's like, that's so cliche now. Fuck you, Gary Hilton, you asshole.
Right.
But so he was part of the producing and making of that movie. Well, he ended up, like, kind of living off the grid and living in national forests and stuff and killing couples, women, other. Yeah, he killed 10 or 11 people, I think, at different times for their ATM cards and just for food and money because he was surviving off the grid.
Is he the one with the Irish setter?
That's my story.
Okay, go
ahead. The story is about the Irish setter. Uh-huh. And so anyway, this
I've watched a Dateline or two.
Yes, so this asshole, he was the last person that he killed, I believe her name was Cheryl. He was in this area and around a park and had slashed her tires. And so they got some forensic evidence based on his weapons that he had on him and stuff. But people placed him there based on his beautiful Irish setter. Mm-hmm. The Irish setter's name was Dandy. And anyway, as part of his plea agreement, he made plans for the dog to have a good home. And the prosecutors were like, fuck you, way ahead of you. We already found a good home for Dandy. But the, you know, Gary Hilton, who doesn't have any feelings and who is a crazy person, was worried about Dandy. But anyway, Dandy was kind of a hero because he helped get Gary Hilton put away and probably saved millions of lives just by being a good boy.
If memory serves, and I could be wrong about this, the last girl that he did take, I think he took her and her dog too.
I believe so.
He loved animals so much that he let that killed dog her, go. But he let the dog go.
Yeah, and that kind of helped lead to her whereabouts also.
Yeah.
It was found at a Winn-Dixie or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh yeah, I saw a shitty guy. And this guy looks crazy. You know how people go, oh, they walk among us and you can never, you know, it could be.
Like a sword thumb.
Winn-Dixie going, like that.
I'm crazy. Yeah,
exactly. Look at me.
He sounded like Chris Rock.
Like he's whatever walking. He didn't walk
he's
in and say,
I got a cute ass dog, but I'm crazy.
Dennis Quaid is here. No, but crazy guy is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So you heard the song Mr. Bojangles. This is a true crime rule saluting Bo and Dandy. And nice. God bless him. Thank you for saving lives and being good boys.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You guys, thank you for listening to another show. My dog is in my lap right now and she's licking my face. She wants to go potty. Anyways, I wanted to say, if you're listening this far, thank you so much again. But can you just go right now, pause this or just stop it or just listen to the rest of it. But go on Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and also a little like snippet of why you love us. And that would be amazing if everybody was.
It's really
that.
Helpful to us for sure. Yeah. And we're at 909 followers on the Good Witch, Bad Witch podcast group Facebook page. And we'd like to get to 1,000 by the end of the year. So just send an invite to one of your friends or they can just give a shout out to us. The moderation team for the page, basically you have to say, I want to join your group. And we're like, yeah.
Okay.
Heck yeah, you're in.
Do you have a dog? Are you a serial killer?
That'd be damn.
Are your initials W-O-W?
Wow.
I think it says, are you a good witch or a bad witch? You can even skip it if you want. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Join our group. It's really fun. It's very interactive. And what I noticed this morning is we have two followers that didn't even know each other that were having a conversation about one of our shows. And it's just really fun to see what people are
it's
into.
It's nice to see people that I'm friends with who are now friends with each other.
Yes.
Because of the group. And yeah. That, you know, because I know that, you know, a lot of people are like, we have the best fans, but our people are such angels.
They're all such angels.
They are all good witches. None of them are bad.
Absolutely.
And they're such neat people, and it's nice that they interact with each other, and they've made other friends.
Yeah.
All because of us.
Our
Absolutely.
Witches play well together.
Yes, they do.
Play well around the cauldron.
Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Hey, stay witchy, my friend.
Stay bitchy.